I suppose that for the more part at conference meetings, the matters that are brought to our attention are essentially practical, and we do need the practical ministry, the teaching of the Word of God. But maybe just for the start tonight, we could focus for a moment or two on our Lord Jesus Christ. A little verse was quoted in the prayer meeting about him, very familiar from Isaiah 53, and we'll just look at it for a moment or two, and then whenever the time is up, we'll draw the line under it. Just read the first three verses. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now may God bless to us the reading of Holy Scripture. Verse 1 of the chapter is quoted twice over in New Testament territory to underscore for us the blindness and the unbelief of the people of Israel. Haven't time to elaborate it, but in John 12 and again in Romans chapter 10, it's emphasized that they were blind, and the question is, who shall believe our report? And then in the subsequent verses in the chapter, we have Israel's reflections on her despised and rejected Messiah. Our brethren have taught us often that this is Day of Atonement language on the part of Israel, that coming day when they'll repent and reflect, and they remember the colossal blunder they made in rejecting their Messiah. Well, all we want to do tonight is just to benefit in some kind of a way from their reflections upon their rejected Messiah. Notice they say, first of all, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Think of these words. He shall grow up. And it is Luke the doctor who traces for us the growth of our Lord Jesus Christ. The doctor explains for us the intricate circumstances of his birth, because the doctor would be interested in the birth of the child. But you young mothers know that when the child is born, the doctor wants you back, and you're in at the clinic, and the nurse is there, and they're wondering about the child growing and increasing in weight. You see, the doctor was interested in that as well. And so in chapter 2 of his gospel, Luke speaks about a babe. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then he begins to speak about the child. And the word he uses is the word that Matthew uses more often, translated the young child. So the babe has become the young child. What's happening? He's growing. And then Luke uses another word, and he'll say, the child Jesus tarried behind at Jerusalem. And really there it's the boy, the youth Jesus. So there's the babe and the child and the youth. And in between he'll tell you the child grew and he increased in stature and in wisdom. He shall grow up. My brethren and sisters, we're confronted with one of the great mysteries of the incarnation. He is the one of whom Solomon spoke. Heaven and the heaven of heavens could not contain him. And yet now he's in circumstances where he is growing up. He never did become a monstrosity like Goliath of God. He grew up naturally. But he grew up before him as a tender plant. Before him. Oh, his presence in the world went unnoticed by men. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You remember that it was said, there standeth one among you whom ye know not. The Son of God had been in this world for 30 years, and yet it went unnoticed in the circles of men. But he was growing up before him. There was a divine eye on him all of these years. That quiet time he knew at Nazareth, saw one with purpose true at Nazareth grow up in all his ways to God his Father's praise. Precious indeed those days at Nazareth. And at the culmination of what we call the silent years, the heavens were Rent asunder is the violent word that Mark uses. Rent asunder. God could hardly contain himself. This is my well-beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He'd grown up before him. He'd grown up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. A tender plant, a young suckling, or a young sapling even, a root out of a dry ground. You think of the dry ground of the nation to which he came. Bad enough in Malachi's day, but another 400 years had run their course. And added to the departure of Malachi's day, you could put the legalism of Phariseeism and the rationalism of Sadduceeism. And that was the kind of atmosphere in which he was growing dry ground. The dry ground of the nation. You think of the dry ground of the town where he was brought up. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Said the guileless Nathaniel. Well, of course, if we'd been there, we might have said to Nathaniel, hold on a minute, Nathaniel. You can't tar everybody with the same brush, you know. Joseph, he came from Nazareth, and the Bible described him as a just man, a righteous man. Mary, she came from Nazareth, and she described herself as the handmaid of the Lord. You've got to be careful, Nathaniel. You can't tar everybody with the same brush. But he came from Nazareth, and it was a sordid place. It was at the crossroads of trade routes, north and south, east and west, with all the attendant vice that that kind of environment brings. And yet there, in the dry ground of Nazareth, he grew up before him. You think of the dry ground of the family circle in which he was brought up. Neither did his brethren believe on him, says Holy Scripture. He was a stranger to his brethren, an alien to his mother's children. Incidentally, notice the accuracy of Scripture. Not his father's children. Joseph was their father, but not his. He was an alien to his mother's children. Dry ground in the family circle. And yet, he grew up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. And Israel says, he hath no form or comeliness. And maybe in that word form, well, I suppose that our English word would maybe be something like physique. You know, they were looking for a warrior king. They were looking for a man like Saul, who was head and shoulders above all the rest. The Nazarene just did not fit the bill. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Do you remember it was said of Moses, as a baby, he was a proper child. He was fair to God. And Scripture remarks on how beautiful that baby was. I know that all you mothers think that your baby was the most beautiful of them all, but Scripture does remark on the beauty of Moses as a baby. And you remember that Scripture makes a comment about how handsome David was. Now the youth was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance. And the Bible does make a remark about Absalom as a man. There was none to be so much praised in Israel as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, there was no blemish in him. And so Scripture looks at these individuals. A baby. A beautiful baby. A youth, a handsome youth, a man like Absalom. I want to tell you, friends, there were no such remarks made about the Lord Jesus in Holy Scripture. We don't know a thing about his physical appearance. We don't know the colour of his hair. We don't know the colour of his eyes. We don't know his chest measurements or anything like that. Not a thing is said about his physical appearance. And Israel looked at him and said, no form or comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him. Aren't you glad that grace has opened your eyes? And we're not concerned with external beauty. Although I do personally believe, although there's no remarks about it, there was a winsomeness and attractiveness about him that even the children appreciated. You know, children are very discerning. They don't take to everybody. But he was able to take them in his arms and put his hands upon them and bless them. There was a winsomeness about him. But they say no beauty. That we should desire him. But grace has opened our eyes, and we are not concerned with external beauty. We are concerned with moral qualities, moral glories. And as far as that is concerned, Scripture says, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. And you know, as you think of the meat offering, the fine flour, no unevenness. There was perfect balance in all the moral qualities that consisted in the Lord Jesus. Lovely to think about that. If I were to say to you, Moses, you would say meekness. And if I were to say Abraham, you would say faith. And if I were to say Job, you would say patience. And if I were to say Joseph, you would say purity. And all these men had these outstanding characteristics. The Lord Jesus had no outstanding characteristics. When you speak about outstanding characteristics, you imply a deficiency in other moral qualities. I want to tell you, every moral excellence was exhibited in fullest measure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember the incense? Four ingredients of a like weight, says Scripture. Not one of them outweighed the other. And so the Bible says about our Lord, full of grace and truth. Not grace at the expense of truth. Not truth to the exclusion of grace. Both in perfect poise. Full of grace and truth. And so as far as his moral glory is concerned, he's fairer than the children of men. But you know, the Bible says about Israel in this very prophecy of Isaiah, their eyes shall behold the king in his beauty. Oh, as they reflect on the despised, rejected Nazarene, no beauty in him that we should desire. But their eyes shall behold the king in his beauty in that coming day of manifested glory. No beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. Despised. There are some people, and if you were to despise them, it would just wash over them. You know, we have an expression, I don't know whether you would use it in North America or not, just like water off a duck's back. Like water off a duck's back. Well now, if you were to despise some, it would just be like water off a duck's back. King Saul was like that. They despised him and brought him no present. Couldn't have cared less. If you've got a margin in your Bible, it'll say, he was as though he had been deaf. I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus was a man of a more sensitive spirit. And he felt it keenly when men despised him. Listen to his words on the cross, but spoken prophetically. I'm a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised by the people. He felt it keenly. It was bad enough, wasn't it, when Michael despised David, David's anointed king. She despised him in her heart. My friends, they despised the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, the great Creator of the universe. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now I promise just to draw the line under it. When the clock came to half past, so it has come to half past, and we'll just now ask the Lord's blessing.